Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again. Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
But again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
You can tweet us. Use the hashtag Murder Monday so everybody can see it too. And some of the tweets we're getting here today, Ashley Flowers about Jodi Arias. Somebody said, Sam said, don't think I'm ever going to the bathroom again. If you just missed it and kind of where we left off, this guy, what's his name?
Travis Alexander.
His friends found him like dead, looked like murdered in the bathtub, right?
In his shower. And so police, when they go through the house, they find that in the washing machine is also a digital camera. And it's been washed, so they have to wait before they can get anything off of it. They're going to send it to some experts, see if they can find anything on the camera. While they're doing that, they start interviewing Travis's friends and family. And one name keeps popping up, and that's his ex-girlfriend, Jodi Arias. And people say that they broke up a while ago, but she was doing some crazy ex-girlfriend stuff, like slashing his tires and trying to hack into his Facebook and just like nonstop trying to get back with him. And they already know her name because right after he was murdered, police get a call from her.
Huh?
And they say that people try to insert themselves into the investigation. This is one of the best examples because she was calling. It was like, listen, I heard my friend died. You know, we were together for a long time. We were still very close. I want to do anything I can to help you. And at the time, she was living in Northern California. Like, what are you going to do to help them? Well, she ends up telling him that they dated for 6 months. And it got very serious very quickly because after 2 months, she converted to Mormonism for him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a big thing when you do that for somebody.
Even though they were both Mormons, though, they were very sexually active. She wanted to please him. Right. But he said, and I think this is part of the reason it made her so angry, because she made herself sexually available to him and gave him what he wanted, it was one of the reasons he didn't want to marry her. Is she wasn't.
Oh my gosh. Yep.
Pure.
That sounds like every guy. I mean, guys, we probably do that. Like, I want a girl who's a freak. Like, I can't marry her. She's a freak.
Lady, what is it? Lady in the streets.
Lady in the sheets. Yeah.
Freak in the streets.
As you can tell, we're both very sexually active people here. That's what we got going on. Yep. Okay. But, anyways.
So they break up in April of 2008, and Jodi says that that's the last time she saw him. And then she moved to Northern California to get a new start. And the detectives don't know what to think because she definitely has motive, but does she have the opportunity? So they try and pinpoint her whereabouts. And according to Jodi, during the time that he was murdered, she was on this road trip from Northern California to Salt Lake City, Utah for a work convention. And she says she takes a little bit longer, stops in Southern California to visit some friends, and then she makes her way to Salt Lake. And all of these points check out. She does go to Southern California. She does make it to Salt Lake, but in this trip, there's about 30 hours of time that's missing. Like, she should have gotten there days earlier.
That's a whole day, almost day and a half. Okay.
She says that she got lost and she was sleeping in her car. And it all sounds super fishy. And police think they know what happened. So they actually make the drive to Northern California to interview her. And they let her, like, ramble on a little bit in the interview room. And finally, the detective is like, listen, let's just cut the BS. I know it was you because you say you haven't seen him since April, right? She says, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And they say, then why do we have pictures of you with Travis and his dead body on the day he was murdered? So what she didn't know is that they had recovered that SD card, and on it were some shocking pictures of Travis actually bleeding and laying on the ground, and there's a woman's foot by his body. And pictures right before that are this, like, photo shoot. I mean, we're talking within 50 seconds.
Yeah.
A photo shoot of Travis, like, in the shower with water dripping on him. And then before that are naked photos of Travis and Jodi together.
Wow.
So there's no denying it at this point. They were together. And she looks like a fool. She's been lying. And so police put her under arrest while they're there. And she starts acting so bizarre. The first thing she does when she realizes she's under arrest is she asks if she can fix her makeup before they, like, take her photo.
Oh, of course. Who doesn't want to look good in their mugshot?
Right?
I want to look good because that's out there forever.
Then she does some yoga. And then when the detective leaves the room, she starts singing. You know, Christmas songs in June.
I'm listening. Come on.
The stars are brightly shining. This is the day of our dear Savior's birth.
Kind of breathy if I had to critique it, like if I was on Idol. But overall, though, I think she has really good pitch.
She actually won some singing competitions in prison later on.
I could see that from the prison audio you gave us.
Right.
Okay.
So one of the things that she became so famous for in this case is that she loved the media and the media loved her. And before she even goes to trial, she sits down with 48 Hours and does this interview. And she gives them a whole different story. She says, listen, I was there, I admit it, but there were two attackers. Travis and I were, you know, taking pictures in the shower. All of a sudden they came in, they attacked us both, and I haven't said anything because I'm still in fear for my life. They're obviously still out there. And this is a crazy story. She tells it to the whole nation, but then before she even goes to trial, she switches her story again, and what they get, the jury gets, is a totally different account.
All right, we're going to find out what she's changing it to, and we'll continue Murder Monday next here on the Joe and Alex Show. Let us know what you think. Any questions you might have or commentary, use the hashtag Murder Monday and tweet us, Joe and Alex Show.